The interest in world history in schools and among the general public is vast. We travel to one another's nations, converse and work with people around the world, and are changed by global events. War and peace affect populations worldwide, as do economic conditions and the state of our environment, communications, and health and medicine. The new Oxford World History presents local histories in a global context and gives an overview of world events seen through the eyes of ordinary people. This combination of the local and the global further defines the new world history. Understanding the workings of global and local conditions in the past gives us tools for examining our own world and for envisioning the interconnected future that is in the making. Bonnie G. Smith, Anand Yang. Introduction. What is gender? On November 24, 1929, rumors that British colonial officials planned to tax Igbo women reached the village of Aloko in southeastern Nigeria. Mark Emerua, instructed by the local warrant chief Okugu to carry out a census of women in preparation for their taxation, entered the compound of a woman named Wanyarua and told her to begin counting her animals. She replied angrily that people had died from colonial counting and insulted him and his mother by demanding of him, "Was your mother counted?" Emerua, enraged, grabbed her by the throat and tried to throttle her. She, her hands wet with oil from the palm nuts she had been pounding, smeared his Western-style suit with the red sticky stuff. He ran off to Okugu's compound to tell him of the events. The warrant chief summoned her to his dwelling and insisted she would pay the tax, threatening her with deep trouble and promising that when the district officer comes, he will take charge of you. To a woman uncertain of what lay in store under the British legal system, his threat could well have meant she would be executed. Upon hearing of Okugu's treatment of Nyuanyarua, a large crowd of women surrounded his compound. There they sat on him, a locally recognized practice undertaken when men committed offenses against women. When sitting on a man, women danced and sang until the object of their grievance acknowledged his offense and promised to make restitution. In this particular instance, the chief not only refused to admit to any wrongdoing, but also set male members of his compound on the women, causing injury to eight of them. In response to Okugu's transgressions, entirely out of step with the expectations of his office, and owing to the persistent rumors of taxation of women circulating in other towns and villages, enormous crowds of women, amounting to tens of thousands, attacked native courts, looted banks, and stormed a number of European warehouses in a variety of towns and villages in southeastern Nigeria. They chose their targets purposefully, as Nwamwo, a member of the group sitting on Okugu, recounted. They said that they wanted to destroy property generally so that all white men might go home, because if they went home, there would be no question of tax being paid, she told the commissioners investigating the events of December 1929. Troops were called in, and on December 16th, the soldiers opened fire with rifles and a Lewis gun, killing 18 women. The next day, a huge crowd of women met at Opobo, frightening the British officials there. The lieutenant in charge of the troops gave an order to fire. The soldiers shot and killed 32 women. An additional 8 women were pushed by the retreating crowd into the river below and drowned. 31 women lay wounded by gunfire. This event, known to Nigerians as the Ogu Umunwanyi, or Women's War, broke out in large part because Igbo women perceived that their